FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.
This episode of the Financial Survival Network is brought to you in part by Sandstorm Gold Royalties. Sandstorm Gold Royalties is a different kind of gold company. They purchase royalties on select mining operations and receive a percentage of the revenue in return. Sandstorm now has a portfolio of over 185 gold royalties around the world. See how gold royalties differ from other gold mining investments at sandstormgold.com. That's sandstormgold.com. Sandstorm Gold Royalties trades on the TSX as SSL and on the New York Stock Exchange American as SAND.
Welcome. You are listening to the Financial Survival Network. I'm Kerry Lutz, and today is 1/28/19. First month of the year, just about shot. Government back to work. I didn't know they were working in the first place. Well, unfortunately, the air traffic controllers, I don't want them to stop working. The TSA, I'll take my chances. A lot of these guys, the SBA, I haven't ever dealt with, so if they never opened again, for my purposes, and probably most of you out there, wouldn't make any difference. Hey, we, as always, we invite you to join the show, be a part of it. Our email address is kl@kerrylutz.com. Well, I ran across the person you're about to hear from on YouTube. You know, they still, they're censoring, but, you know, they're still leaving people up there. Who knows how much longer he'll be on there. Name is Mason Weaver. He was speaking, Mason, you were speaking such sense, such common sense that I said, I got to have this guy on the show. And Mason, I'm welcoming you to the show. It's really an honor to have you on.
Well, it's an honor to be on. I really appreciate you guys reaching out to me.
Hey, well, it's our pleasure. And, you know, we want to get your message out. We know that you're being actively censored by YouTube, by Facebook. So anything we can do to help get your message out. We've got tens of thousands of you out there listening. And again, if there's a question or comment for Mason, I'd love to hear from you, kl@kerrylutz.com. So first thing, and you actually have a Wikipedia entry. It says you're a social critic, motivational speaker, commentator, and author, African-American, and conservative. And it's pretty amazing that that you're out there really speaking, because your message, the left doesn't want to hear it. They want to shut us up, right?
Nope, that's right. They do not want the truth. They squatter in lies. They worship lies. They deny the truth knowing it is true, and they accept the lie knowing it's a lie. So with that fact, it's impossible. It's fruitless to debate with them because they already know the truth. I was a Berkeley radical revolutionary student. I was member of the Black Panther Party. I speak Swahili. I was a radical student at Berkeley, and we were fighting for the civil rights. We were fighting for the laws to be changed. We didn't care if white folks liked us or not, or if we were going to be accepted. We were fighting just to compete in America. Once we won the right to compete, I competed. And I don't care. I don't care if you don't like me or against me. I am an American. I'm a Vietnam veteran. This is my country. If we're going to compete, I'm a capitalist. So I'm out here now trying to spread the idea that if you're looking for someone to take care of you, you are a slave. Let's stop being slaves.
Hey, and that is a great point. So you fought for the country, and you did a 180 switch, because being a Black Panther and then switching to a conservative, I mean, you know, basically so many of the African-American community believe that you're a traitor to the race, right?
Well, I'm not sure if most of us do. And also, by the way, I know that you're being polite, but honestly, I have never been to Africa.
Okay. Can I say
I'm an American.
Can I say you're a Black American?
And by the way, most Black people do not refer to themselves as African Americans. That's the television. They want to separate us from America. They want to separate you from America. Guilty white man, toxic male. They want to separate us by our differences instead of uniting us by our commonality.
Well, one well-known politician was truly an African-American, and that is Barack Hussein Obama, right?
Yep.
He was an African-American.
Yep. I'm not sure he was American, definitely.
Yeah, well, he was definitely African. You know, he had an African father, purportedly, although who knows who his father really was, and he had an American mother. So, assuming that Barack Hussein Obama the first was really his father, then he truly was an African American. So I don't like to label people either. But, you know, we have a problem in this country where the black community has deliberately, the black family has been deliberately destroyed by the left.
Yes.
I mean, this
is, absolutely.
How do we put it back? How can it be good?
Well, first, to get it back together, we have to first start talking about it. And when you raise your head up to expose the left, they're going to call you names.
Racist.
We have to get over the fear of being called a name. We are terrified of being called a stupid name. Mm-hmm. So the truth never comes back void. That's why the left hates you to tell the truth, because it never goes out empty. So we start talking about it. Black folks want to take the excuse. The white man got me down. The white man does this. But you're right. It's going to be very difficult. But you have to be willing to take the name calling and the hatred. I have five brothers and sisters, but I call myself an only child with five siblings, because they don't like what I'm saying. They don't support what I'm saying. But I'm still going to say the truth right between the lies.
I love that. And look, I remember my father owned, my family owned apartment buildings in New Jersey in a black area. And when this was in the 60s, and he was telling me stories about how they were forcing the black fathers out of the home in order for the woman to receive welfare. If that doesn't destroy a family, what the heck does?
Well, they wanted to be destroyed. Look at these black inner city ghettos. Liberal Democrats own every ghetto in America, and they cannot have a male in the home preparing to die for his wife and his children. That is suicide to the left. So they want to take that male out and neuter him. The only people now in the community are gang members. But also, I have a word for you. Now they're coming after the white males. What do you think toxic masculinity is about? That's about getting that male to stop being male, to actually be gentle and feminine and wear makeup. I was at the mall yesterday. I saw a 6'3", 300-pound white guy with pink hair and purple hair, and this dude was working in a store in a gown. He was wearing a gown. And,
really?
Sleeves out, chest out.
That's a little
and working,
bizarre.
I walked in that store, and they said, can I help you? And I looked at that guy and said, no, you cannot. And I walked out.
So we look at the situation, and look, basically young black women are encouraged to have children out of wedlock. The system's designed
for that. They've been wanted for it.
Yeah, so why doesn't the government, if it's bad to smoke, all right, because it's going to kill you, you get lung cancer, this is guaranteeing, the kid has an 8 times higher chance of going to prison, of dropping out of high school, never finishing his education.
Right.
So we're creating an underclass here, correct? And
absolutely.
Why don't we have a campaign? If we can have a campaign that you shouldn't smoke because it's going to kill you, you're going to get lung cancer, why can't we have a campaign?
That's not why they have the anti-smoking campaign. The reason for the anti-smoking campaign is so they can tax cigarette more.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah,
you can't tax poverty, so that's a different program for black folks.
Right.
And you don't want to tax the cigarettes. But in the black community, don't forget now, Democrats are the party of slavery.
Mm-hmm.
They're plantation managers. On the plantation, the poorer you are, the more dependent you are on master and feature, the more the lawyer you was on a slave. So these black folks now they had a slave breeder. His job was to make babies for master.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the black man could not take care of his family. He could not take care of his wife on that plantation. So in order to keep his ego intact, he had to put her in a place unworthy of his protection. He had to call her a bitch in a hole and everything else. And now the black male's ego was based on how many babies he made for master, not how many babies he was taking care of.
Mm-hmm.
And now the modern-day plantation, these black men are making babies for the welfare system. They're making babies, they're making new Democratic voters. Every time you find poverty and drugs and gangs and misery and bad schools, every time you breed more poverty, more gangs, more drugs, and you also breed Democratic voters. So they are in charge of the black community because they breed more Democratic voters.
And so, you know, that's an interesting historical perspective on it. And really, but this class of children who've been created with no father, they're running amok in the cities, winding up, you know, in a lot of trouble. Not every single one. It's important to note that some
not even most.
Yeah.
But enough to draw attention, and also has made it to scare you white folks too.
Mm-hmm. And it's worked. Let's face it, it's worked for sure. And really, so we need this campaign to put the father back in the home. And it's happening in the white community too, just not to the extent that it's progressed in the black community. So,
well, it's going to be a hard time for us to deal with it. Is that my music? You know, I'm hearing music in the background.
No, not my music.
Maybe it's from heaven.
Maybe we're getting a little input from heaven here. Getting the holy music.
I don't know where it's coming from. That's probably mine. But it does not. It come up in a second, I guess. It doesn't do any good to try to fight the problem without first identifying the problem.
Yeah. So identify the problem, and so the Jesse Jacksons, the Al Sharptons of the world, are really...
We call them poverty pimps.
Yeah, exactly. And they thrive on the community's victimhood, right?
Well, they make their money off of pimping on black people. They don't want a solution because a solution would drop their income. Their job, like the old slave drivers on the plantation, the slave drivers was to drive the slaves to the fields to pick cotton for master. And Jackson and Al Sharpton and Louis Farrakhan, their job is to drive the black voters to the polls to vote for Democrats. Mm-hmm. John Conyers is that way. Maxine Murphy Waters is that way. That's what they do. Their job is to get votes for their slave masters, not to serve black people.
Mm-hmm. So who are the masters now? Who are the modern day slave masters?
Nancy Pelosi and the crowd. The liberal Democrats, the Congressional Communist Caucus, Black Caucus, that's what they do. Democrats will never do anything to bring prosperity. They are like pigs in the mud. They need mud. You are a vibrant rose. You need bright light. They are fungus, and they need darkness. They can never compromise with you without killing themselves. So we, as Americans, I want your audience to look around today as you travel around your business today. You're going to be on a bus for black folks. You're going to be at work for black folks. You'll be at lunch, at dinner. You're going to be driving home together, commuting together. And look around. You do not see us hating each other. You don't see us fighting each other. But as soon as you get home tonight and turn on TV, you will see a reality that does not exist in your real life. And they expect you to look at TV and make that your America instead of around what you see yourself. In reality, this is why that TV calls their product programming.
Yeah.
We're being programmed to think that we're not getting along together.
That's such a great point. And yeah, so a thinking person is the enemy of the left and could be the enemy of the right too, because there's plenty of people on the right who are just kind of brainwashed and just going along with it. Being a critical thinker is what we're talking about here. It's looking at things, statements that are made to you, looking at the way the world is working and coming up with your own conclusions. Now, you can't do it on your own, obviously, because all knowledge is derivative to some extent. But, you know, you need to become a critical thinker. And particularly on the left, these people are not critical thinkers, are they?
No, they don't even think. They just feel. They just feel.
Mm-hmm.
They respond in cliches. They always talk to you and answer you in cliches. And just a few days ago, Friday, I'm at dinner at a very nice restaurant in a very good hotel, and my waiter was black. And he was aggressive. He was intelligent. He was serving us properly. And so I asked him, how are things going, man? You been in sales all your life? He said, yeah. I said, so tell me, has it gotten better? He said, no, it's getting worse. I said, where? What's it getting worse at? Employment is high in the black community. This ownership is high. Stock market is high. Your 401k is high. How's it getting worse? Well, you know, they try to blame Trump for it, but I don't think he did anything. Man, just look around the neighborhood. Yeah. Even the kids in the black high schools that are dropouts are getting jobs now. And he said, well, I never really thought about it that way. I said, no, you never thought about it.
Yeah.
We're doing great. Just giving the same pattern response that your master has told you to give. Mm-hmm. And you can see with your eyes. This man was in the richest city in St. Louis County at the best hotel working. I said, you see more black folks. Matter of fact, the whole staff is black now because people are working their jobs. Walmart just came out 4 days ago and announced that their truck drivers are going to be making $90,000 a year driving a truck, 18 years old out of high school. Come on, folks. This is prosperity. And only a fool will starve in the land of plenty.
Yeah, hey, I'm with you on it. I totally agree. Hopefully it'll continue on. But the guy you're talking to, things have gotten better for him, and yet he thinks it's worse. How do you convince somebody of that? How do you make them believe that when it couldn't be further from the truth?
Well, what I did was ask them questions. So what about this? What about that? What do you think about that? And he starts thinking to give me an answer. You cannot think and stay a liberal. You cannot think and stay a slave. And once that young man started thinking, he asked me for my card.
Yeah.
He wanted to do more research. So I have several books out on success and liberalism. The last one just came out a few weeks ago, Seven Principles of Success. When you have, this guy will say how bad it was for black folks in America. I'm saying, man, black people in America are the richest black people on this planet. Black people in America lead the black folks in entertainment, in medicine, in business. Where can you go anywhere in the world and find black people singing and dancing and making as much money?
Making
as much money. Where can you find? Where do you want to look at to see black folks doing better? And especially in socialist countries. Show me a socialist country where black folks are thriving.
Hey,
in 80, you got black folks on the rise. And
sure.
Folks are lack of perception around the businesses. So I'm just saying, look around you. Think, what do you see? There's cash flowing through the community now. You got to get yourself in a position to take some of the cash.
Mm-hmm. So this is a great point. Would you rather be a black person in America or a white person in Venezuela, a Hispanic, Hispanic? Right? Which would you prefer?
I'd rather be rich or poor here than any place on this planet. And so do you, and so do your listeners. And so I had a white teacher in college, white, blue-eyed German. I mean, from Germany. Telling the class how tough it was being black in America. And I asked the question, compared to what? How long you been black? What do you mean? America is good for black folks and German folks, which is why you're behind us here instead of in Germany.
Yeah. So true. It's so true. It's so obvious. And yet the media can make you believe things that aren't true. So
programming.
Yeah. As you said, programming, which is like really what it comes down to. And which is why I've always told people, do not watch news on television, because it's purely manipulative. Because when you watch news, you know, the critical part of your brain, it bypasses it. It shuts down. If you read it, if you read things, your critical capacity facility is active and your BS meter is running. And, you know, you're in a position to really figure out who's telling you the truth. And I remember I had an advertising professor in college, Mason, and he said, anytime you see anything on TV, you should say, who is putting it on there? Who's paying for it? Follow the money, who is benefiting from it, and why would they want you to think a certain way? Now, he was talking about advertising, but effectively, mass media, whether it's programming or whether it's news, commercials, it's all about advertising. It's advertising a particular belief system, point of view, and trying to get you to act accordingly, right?
You're absolutely correct. I'm homeschooling my 13 and 15-year-old granddaughters, and I'm talking to them about what they see on TV and what they see with their eyes. And at the age now where they're interested in being cute and being flirtatious and being pretty and getting attention,
yeah.
And I'm trying to, well, I'm doing a very good job, I think, of explaining to them that all you get on television one way or another is a lie. It is a lie. And they begin to figure it out. But what I've done, because I've been doing this now for almost 40 years, we're going to organize an online place, a safe house for mm-hmm. people to escape that want to leave liberalism, that want to leave where they are, and gather around like-minded people. They can get training, entertainment. We're going to be putting up videos and schooling. It's called right now, we have a site called You Are To Be Free. That's the letter U, letter R, number two, letter B, the word free. And we're changing it into it's a social media site now. We shut it down. We're now changing it into just a membership site. Mm-hmm. We join. We have four pillars: spiritual, economical, political, and cultural. And it's going to be a place that we're going to gather folks together and train them, educate them on what's going on in their community.
Hey, well, it's so valuable. You're really doing a major service to everyone. Because the other thing is that the left and the powers that be, they want to divide us. They want a right. They want a left. They want blacks to hate whites and whites to hate blacks, because then we're disunified. We're not unified. And then it makes their job of control so much easier, because then the whole identity politics enters into it. Hey, you're a poor, aggrieved black person. You're a poor, aggrieved white person in the South. You know, we feel your pain. Whoever said that?
Yep.
I feel your pain, and I'm going to make it all better. Right?
We're going to fight you. You're a victim. I started the plantation. That's how I stopped being liberal. I studied the system on that plantation. You had house slaves against field slaves.
Yeah.
You had big plantations didn't like little plantations. You had the males against the females. Yeah. And today you have, in the city, you got gangs. But the color of your shirt determining where you're supposed to live and how you're supposed to live. It's amazing how you're going to kill somebody over the color of their shirt. You claim you own the streets, but you don't own anything. You know, I was talking to a gangbanger in San Diego, and the guy was a drug dealer. He was talking about he's making $20,000-$30,000 a month. I'm saying, no, you collected that amount of money. You're not making it. But I asked him a question. How much would you pay the judge and the chief of police to stay out of jail? Mm-hmm. How much would you pay? He said, well, I paid $20,000. I said, yeah, it's called taxes. Become a pharmacist and sell drugs. They're protected by that. Yeah, you would be on the corner and sell drugs, and they arrest you.
I love it. How did you get so wise, Mason? I mean, obviously, you're a Black Panther one moment, then you're a conservative the next. What happened to you, and how do we do it for others?
Well, first off, the Black Panthers were conservatives. We were fighting the cops in Oakland. I was an Oakland Black Panther. The cops in Oakland.
You were in the thick of it.
Drove by and shot up our headquarters. I mean, they drove by, got out the car and shot up. It wasn't a drive-by. It was a walk-by. And they rode around the block and decided they hadn't shot up enough and came back again, got out the car again and unloaded on our headquarters. So that we had to fight back. What we ended up doing is patrolling the streets with guns, and we started following the police department. We want the police to be out of our community or out of control. We want the banks to lend money to us. We want to be able to go into business. And once we won the civil rights, once we won the right to go out and get a loan, I took advantage of my conservative, American hate loving position. I was a capitalist. But before the Black Panthers, I joined the Navy. And a white racist, and I was a black racist, a white racist dropped 2,800 pounds of steel on me, trying to kill me, looked dead in the eye to do it. I ended up being permanently disabled. I'm in the hospital at Belleboy, 1971, August 11th, 9:05 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And I was permanently, they gave me a week to live. And I was in pain, and I couldn't move nothing but my head. Yeah. And I hated everything white. I hated America. I broke up with a girl because she had a white dog. I was full of hate.
Yeah.
And as I went through years, I went to Berkeley as a militant. I took Swahili, got my little dashiki and my attitude, and I was a danger to any white person I passed. At Berkeley, had 35,000 white students at Berkeley. I did not know one of their names. But then I had a transition. It was a one-day transition. It was Jesus Christ. He gave me a heart transplant. Mm-hmm. I stopped hating. I forgave that white guy. And then that anger left. When the anger left, I was able to use my brain to compete to take care of my wife and my kids and my grandkids. And each man, I'm not a female, I don't know about women, but each man has to have a reason to live and to die. And it better be your legacy, not your job, not your church, not your little gang you hang with, but it better be your great-great-grandkids. And that will make men with like minds, white or black, Chinese, doesn't matter,
right,
band together because of the same philosophy, and that's called a community. When grown men stand up in their community, the community is safer, the kids are better, and that will bring prosperity and peace to all of us.
And that's such a great point. And that's what we all want. We want a better life for our children, for ourselves. We want to be able to live a happy, productive life, feel useful, and really make a difference in our lives and in the lives of our children. We want them to turn out well. We all want the same thing, don't we?
Yes, sir. See, 1,000 years from now, it will not matter what job you have. Mm-hmm. 1,000 years from now, it won't matter, you know, where you went to church. What will matter is your great-great-great-great-great-grandkids.
Mm-hmm.
What are you leaving for them? What is the philosophy that you leave? What is the standard of the wife you choose? And where you choose to live, how you choose to raise your kids? That's going to be your legacy 1,000 years from now, not what job you have or who you vote for. So get back to the legacy building, and then we'll rebuild America.
Exactly. So what about Make America Great? Is that a dog whistle racist term? That's what they want you to believe, right?
Well, isn't it easy to call something a racist or homophobic? Or the name calling is very easy. It's something you cannot measure. You cannot measure racism. I was on Trish Reagan's show, Fox Business,
right,
a couple weeks ago. And
I saw.
She asked me a question. It's about Trump being a racist. And I said, well, why would I care if Trump is a racist? Why is that important? Are you saying I'm so weak that white folks got to protect me against other white folks? But I can't handle racist because I'm just a weak black man. But that by itself is racist.
That's racist because you're looking down upon the person, saying, you're a protected class. You can't do it for yourself. Therefore, we have to take care of you. And
well, I asked, right? if he's a racist, I still pay $1.65 for gas like white folks do. My taxes are just as low as white folks' taxes. When I go out and open the business up, I have the same opportunity. This racist white man has increased my 401k. He's brought major corporations back to America. He's building a wall for me. I don't care. If Donald Trump wants to raise the Confederate flag, why would I care? I'm participating in the American dream. I get the same benefits and rations you do. It's not the white privilege. It's the American privilege. Join America.
Yes, exactly. Couldn't have said it better myself. Such a breath of fresh air, you know, but try going on CNN. Try getting your message out on YouTube. Try getting your message out on Facebook. Try it on Twitter. And you know what happens, but you can't keep the truth down, right?
On the plantation, those Underground Railroad folks, they didn't go and knock on master's door and say, let me talk to you about the slaves. In 1939, we didn't go to Hitler to talk about the Jews. No, we sent the 101st Airborne to talk to him about the Jews. And the Underground Railroad started, and they got folks out of slavery into freedom without master's permission. So CNN will never put your message out. CNN will never put my message out. But we're still winning. Last October, man, 450 young black folks, high school kids, went to the White House, and they took the three floors of the White House. They met with the president, and these guys were already conservative. High school seniors, college freshmen, they were already conservative, but nobody covered that. But those kids were hardcore, aggressive, conservative people. We are winning this battle, but you cannot depend on Tokyo Rose to tell you how the battle is going. He depends on Hanoi Hilton to tell you how the battle is going. We elected Trump in spite of the Democrats, Republicans, the donor class, the union. No one wanted him but us, and we got him.
Hey, and this is it. So Trump, whether he's a racist or not, we don't care, but obviously we know he's not. It's absurd.
Who cares? I'm a I'm not gonna fight that battle with you. I'm gonna fight the battle over the taxes.
Yeah, hey.
Over the border wall. They want to talk about killing. They want to talk about if he's mean. I want to talk about is he effective.
Okay, so hey, one more question, then we got to go. And I've really enjoyed speaking with you. You're such an inspiration. When they say you're a motivational speaker, they weren't kidding. I was a little down this morning, but now talking to you, I feel like a lot better. So illegal immigration. Who does it hurt most? Does it hurt the Nancy Pelosi plantation owners of the world, or does it hurt the working black man? And I'll give you an example, because obviously you know where I'm getting with this. In Florida, okay, a lot of construction, biggest industry in the state by far. The old construction sites have been coming to Florida since I'm 6 years old, since 1963. Used to be that all the construction sites, the masons, the laborers, etc., all black. Now, they're all Hispanic. So who has been harmed most by illegal immigration?
It has black people who want to work. In San Diego, the same thing. My brother came out to San Diego to live with me. He was a talented, skillful construction guy. He owned a company. He could not get a job anywhere building anything in San Diego. He couldn't get a job at Home Depot. Black people are harmed, but don't forget now, the abused people support the abuser. Black people think success is how much you get from the government. They're experts at hustling. So you have to get that mindset back that you cannot hustle more than you can earn. You cannot hustle out there and gain more than you can do by getting your butt up and working. Same thing with the guys kneeling down the football team. Hard work works, not protesting. Hard work got them where they are. Hard work got Oprah where she is. It got Barack Obama where he is. Hard work works. So let's all get up and get back to hard working.
And that's what it's about. Hard work. Anything worth waiting for is worth working for. And you have such a positive outlook. You know, by all rights, hey, if you bought into the garbage that the poverty pimps were selling, you would be saying it's my fault that you're not getting ahead. But none of that. Personal responsibility. You really embody the greatest parts of America, old America, and hopefully future America. I am really optimistic about the millennials. I think they will be the next greatest generation. They have had it too easy, and they're too entitled, but they're about to figure things out. And when they do, I think they're going to be unstoppable.
The only thing that I worry about them is people believe what CNN says about them. We have won this battle already. It is ours.
Right.
We have to show up to fight for it, buddy.
So the only thing is not to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory and understand that we've won already and just not be affected. Because when you rise to their bait and you buy into their stupid arguments, which are not based in fact, then you lose. But if you rise above it, success is the best revenge, right?
If I have one thing to leave you guys, white folks, start speaking up. When you see foolish things coming your way, like affirmative action, we got to vote for it. Say it's stupid and wrong. When you see folks telling you that white privilege, you got to laugh. That's stupid and foolish.
Yes.
When you see people say toxic males, when you see every character on TV, every white male on TV is weak.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you got to start saying that's foolishness.
Yeah.
We'll win this thing.
Yeah. Hey, that's great. Hey, just tell us, Mason, where do we find your work? Where do we find you these days?
Well, You Ought to Be Free is my website, but I also have ClarenceAMason.com. That's my business website for my speaking engagements.
Uh-huh.
And then we have MasonWeaver.com, which is a news site. We're going to be putting news articles you will not get anywhere else on that site.
Excellent.
So my email address is MasonWeaver@MasonWeaver. My book's on Amazon, and I'm easy to find, but I'm just hard to locate.
Hey, all right. Excellent. Hey, well, thank you so much for coming on. Mason, it's been a total pleasure. Keep up the fight. We'll talk to you again real soon.
Thank you, sir. Stay in touch. God bless you.
FSN Radio. It's all about what's next. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and sign up for your free weekly newsletter. You'll also get three free reports. The Financial Survival Network. It's all about what's next.